Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. We start hour number three. You're in the jungle, and this program is live, and it's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Right now, if you're on hold, stay there. Because right now I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, Ravens football. We are joined right now by a tackle for the Baltimore Ravens, second best pass blocker in the league last season, according to Pro Football Focus. He was a consensus All-American in Notre Dame. He was the sixth pick overall in 2016. Baltimore is 5-2. They're in first in the AFC North. They host New England on November 3rd. We are joined by tackle Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Great. So you're coming off a huge win at Seattle. Let me start right there because you're heading into a bye. How is life for you right about now when you're coming off a statement win and you've got a little bit of time off?
We're all just, you know, happy with coming out of there with the win. It was the first time in franchise history that we beat them at their place. So we're all excited about that. But, you know, we know there's a lot more work that we have to put in, and everyone has a similar mindset.
Ravens tackle Ronnie Stanley, my guest. Listen, there's so many plays I could talk to you about from that game, but one in particular was the huge 3rd and 8 deep in your own territory in the fourth quarter. Lamar Jackson drops back to pass. You dominated your man. Jackson takes off the first down. What do you remember about that play, and what kind of emotions were you feeling when you saw him pick up that big first down?
You know, I was just not by now, and when we're in those situations, I'm pretty confident that we're gonna get a first down. We can be in a 3rd and 10 plus situation, and I'm still pretty confident that we're gonna get these yards. And if we don't, it's probably something that we messed up. So that's just kind of the ability Lamar gives this team, is just there's a chance for something to happen on any given down.
Ronnie Stanley, my guest, you know, I can see that. And I got to be honest, I could not be more impressed with Jackson, both as a player and a leader. How would you describe the leadership role that he's taken on with the team?
I think he's done great in the leadership role. He knows that he had to, you know, become more of a leader for this offense just based on being at the quarterback position. You're controlling everything. And I think he's done a really good job of taking control of the offense and making it his own.
You know, and especially when he's got some time to kind of settle in and they can kind of work that offense around him. For instance, in the offseason, there was a lot of talk about how the offense would be revamped to unleash Lamar. There was an adjustment last year when there was the change of quarterback. So from an offensive line standpoint, what was it like to make those changes midseason? And then what was it like to have the entire offseason to develop that offense together?
Yeah, you know, midseason, things had to change, you know, kind of drastically, you know, in the matter of a week. So it was a completely different offense, but, you know, just making sure that your technique and your fundamentals are on point, that helps a lot with changing different schemes and just being ready for, you know, whatever plays that are thrown in there.
Now, you were an elite player in high school at Bishop Gorman. You were an elite player at Notre Dame, but the transition to the NFL is not always easy, even for the very best players. That said, as a rookie, you still started 12 games despite missing 4 games with a foot injury. So looking back, what was that transition from college to the NFL like for you?
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, you're at the top of the top, the best of the best, and especially, you know, playing this position, there's going to be a lot of pressure, and you're expected to be on point, especially when you're a top pick. So for me, it was just I wanted to be consistent, and I wanted to make sure I was using good technique, and I just wasn't out there, you know, trying to use my athleticism to beat guys. I wanted to make sure I was still being a technician while using my athletic ability. And just, you know, I knew there was going to be ups and downs. I wasn't going to come in and be perfect. But, you know, you got to keep getting better and can't let those negative times hold you down. You have to learn from them, and that's what I just kept doing. You know, there's plenty of the bad times, but I instead of, you know, being down on those times, I've learned from them and just kept getting better and better.
Ronnie Stanley, my guest. The thing is, you say that you don't want to necessarily be perfect, except that you got one teammate, James Hurst, who says you are a perfectionist. His quote is, he's got the long arms, he's lean, he's strong, he can handle the power, but he's also more than quick enough to handle those speed guys. But then you see the way he's a perfectionist in a lot of ways. Knowing that about him, you knew that was going to drive him. He was not going to be okay with just being a good player, end quote. So that's your teammate, James Hurst. Where did the attitude and that drive come from to not only be good and consistent, but to be great, to be one of the best?
You know, that's just how I've been built ever since I was young. You know, I never wanted to really to do anything and be competitive at it unless I was trying to be the very best at it. I didn't want to be, you know, just one of the few. You know, I wanted to, you know, really be stand out and really show that I can, you know, be the best, especially if I know I have the capability to do so. And just like James said, I mean, I talk to him a lot because I really love James's brain, and he's definitely one of the smartest guys in the O-line room, if not the entire team. So I'm always asking him, you know, to watch me when I'm taking sets, and he's always the guy I'm going to when I'm really trying to perfect everything I'm looking for in my footwork, if I'm staying square, my hand placement. He's always the guy I'm asking to watch me, so he gets a lot of that, that perfectionist kind of feedback, you know, from me, because I'm definitely, you know, that's just how I am. I just want to be able to stop any move at any time, and in order to do that, you just got to be, you know, fundamentally sound, and you got to be on your game. But that takes a lot of focus, takes a lot of athletic ability, takes a lot of things. So, I mean, it looks easy when it's happening and it's all working out, but to get to that point, to get all those little things working together, it takes a lot.
Ronnie Stanley joining us. When you lay it out like that, it really becomes more apparent. Like, you had this great comment, I thought, back in camp when you said, quote, I always try to give defensive ends a little bleep. I tell them they have the easiest job. They get one sack a game for the whole season, and they look like they're beasts, end quote. I mean, I love that because that's so true. If a DN gets lucky once a game, he can celebrate, but you've got to be perfect on every single play. So what's it take from a mental and psychological standpoint to take on that challenge?
It takes, like I said, it takes a tremendous amount of focus, and being in the NFL, you know, it's such a competitive environment. That's really the difference between being, you know, a good tackle and being an elite tackle is really, are you giving up that one play, you know, because that's all it really takes. Is you can have a great game, and I mean, I'm not saying one play, I'm not saying like that you're just going to base the game off a play. But if you're trying to get in that conversation and you want to be an elite player, for me, every play I look at, like, I shouldn't lose a rep, you know. So if I'm on my game, I shouldn't lose a rep, and that takes a lot of focus. But you know, that's just, you know, what I have to expect out of myself, you know, if I really want to do it.
We're talking to Ravens tackle Ronnie Stanley. Hey, Ronnie, talk to me. Do I hear a dog in the background? Because there is a great story about the dog.
Yeah, my dog's over here barking at the gardeners right now because they can't go outside and run around.
All right, so let's get into this for a minute. When you got to Baltimore, you wanted to get a dog. So before training camp, you went to an animal shelter, and you said you wanted to adopt a dog who had been there for a long time. Why was that, and what kind of a dog did you end up with?
I mean, I knew I'd be able to financially support, you know, a dog that, you know, whether it needed medical needs or whatever the case might be, I could support it in that sense. And I always, you know, had a heart for animals, misfortunate animals or mistreated animals, you know, not just dogs, just animals in general, you know. So I knew that I wanted to help out an animal, in this case a dog, you know, give it a life, you know, that it probably never knew. And I wanted to pick a dog that lived through something, you know, that kind of went through it, that never knew, you know, what living like a real good dog meant. So That's why I chose that path, and you know, got two dogs right now, so and I'm planning on getting more probably in the future. You know, maybe just have like a whole farm, just have a bunch of animals. You know.
Now we're getting somewhere. Ronnie Stanley, my guest. All right, so one dog wasn't enough. You got two. Two's not enough. You might need a whole farm. So clearly, you're not afraid to do things a little bit differently. In fact, Orlando Brown Jr. says, quote, it's a quote. Now, this is not me, Ronnie. This is him. Quote, he's a weirdo. You can tell him I said that, too. End quote. Tight end Nick Boyle said, quote, Ronnie is the weirdest guy on the team. He's not the typical offensive lineman. He's totally different. He's like, hey, guys, let's break it down. I love you all. End quote. Listen, I like hearing these things because to me, weird is good. I love weird. But do you think you're weird and different, or are these guys just giving you a hard time?
Probably a little bit of both, I would say. I'm not going to deny that I'm not weird. I just am how I am, you know. I'm just, you know, whatever's on my mind at that moment, I'll just, like, tell it to someone. It just might be random. I might have a question on my mind I really want to know. I might just bring it up, you know. So, like, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I'm not a person who really cares, like, if people are sitting there calling me, you know, well, look at that weirdo. So for me, I'm just, you know, being myself. But, you know, those guys, they love me. They accept me the way I am. They're just always trying to give me a hard time because I am kind of weird, so. Can't really deny that.
Got to have it. Ronnie Stanley is my guest. Listen, I think to that point, some people might get the impression that, yeah, well, you're an offensive lineman, right? So that must be so awesome. You can eat whatever the hell you want, whenever you want. But you've made the point, again, that you're blocking extremely athletic guys, that you can't be sloppy in anything you do, not on the field, not in the way you prepare, and not in the way you eat. But you are a big foodie. So what are some of your favorite spots in Baltimore?
Some of my favorite spots, you know, Clavel, you know, it's a Mexican place, great tacos, great drinks, great everything, great environment. Azumi, Japanese restaurant, great sushi, you know, great shareable plates. I'd say those, Tagliata is a great Italian restaurant. La Scala is a great Italian restaurant. You know, there's a great food scene over here in Baltimore, and, you know, there's, and it's kind of spread out, you know, there's a lot of different small towns and whatnot that have just great restaurants. So you really have to, you know, kind of venture out. But like you said, you really can't just eat whatever you want and play off of, I mean, you maybe if you want to be, okay, but like if you're trying to be really good, you got to be, you know, great shape, especially if you're playing, you know, the most athletic guys on the other team. You know, you can't really let them, you know, out stamina you throughout a game, you know, because, you know, those guys can come in fresh, you know, having a couple plays off, and then they come in on third down fresh as a daisy, you know. So you got to make sure when you got to be still good, you got to make sure you're on that. And nutrition is really big on that. Our new nutritionist this year really has done a great job. Her name's Sarah. She's done a great job, you know, helping me, you know, keep on my weight and make sure I have the energy I need to sustain.
So I mentioned that Ravens football is actually one of my favorite topics. Before I let you go, from the outside, it would seem like you and the city of Baltimore are a really good fit, like a perfect fit. What's it like to play there, and what's that bond that you feel with that fan base? What's that like?
Oh, it's great. I mean, they have that same, you know, back against the wall energy that we play with. You know, we always come out there, you know, like we got something to prove, and the city, you know, they're right behind us. They have that same type of chip on their shoulder. So it's a great match.
Baltimore's 5-2. They're first in the AFC North. They're at home against New England on November 3rd, so they've got a little bit of time. Ronnie Stanley, the second-best pass blocker in the league last year, according to PFF. He was a consensus All-American at Notre Dame. Ronnie, I know you got a little bit of time off. I appreciate you setting some of it aside to come on the program, and great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was fun, man. Thank you. I love talking to the Ravens. They've got really interesting guys on that team. Ronnie Stanley. Again, evidence that offensive linemen are some of the best interviews. Everybody's always about, hey, let's get that name. Let's get that skill guy. It is such a technical position that the guys who play it, more often than not, are extremely bright, really interesting, and really engaging. Like, I mean, I wish I talked to more linemen. And we haven't talked to a ton of linemen, but I don't ever remember talking to an offensive lineman who was not good to talk to, who was not a good conversationalist. And you can put him right near the top of the list. Ronnie Stanley, Notre Dame product. When we come back, if you want to talk Raven football, that's fine too. Lamar Jackson has been amazing. Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It will find them for you. It's technology invites people and identifies them to apply for your job. So you get the right candidates and you get them quickly. He posted his job on ZipRecruiter and was impressed with how fast this whole thing went down. He used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature so he could focus on the most relevant ones. That's how he found his new director of coffee, and he found that in only a few days. With results like that, it is no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. 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 ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So you want to make sure that you're taking the right vitamins always, right? Get personalized daily vitamin packs delivered each month with GNC for you. Get started at GNCforYou.com. GNC, the number 4, the letter U.com. GNC, live well. So it's been kind of an up and down day on the phones. Actually, it's been really a down day on the phones. It's not been a good day on the phones. But it's not too late to rally. We could salvage this thing still yet. Why don't we go to Albuquerque, Rex, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Rex.
Hey, Jimmy. I'm actually calling from Albuquerque, Spain. But that's not what I'm calling about. How about this unprecedented heat wave we're having in Southern California, huh? But you know what's not unprecedented? The traffic on the 405, am I right? I mean, what do you do if you have to go to the bathroom? Jim, is this thing on?
Thanks, Rex.
No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
My man in Ontario is still taking some. Rex just did a whole parody. Reggie in Ontario. This is what happens when you're not ready. Reggie was not ready. It went badly. Reggie has been clowned hard ever since that happened. Even Rex came in to do Reggie dirty. Rex from Albuquerque, New Mexico. All right, so instead of taking another bad phone call, let me give you my flip side, the other thoughts on the Lakers-Clippers matchup. The other side of the coin from last night, the Lakers. They looked all right. Got off to a great start. And then they looked okay. Not great, but they looked okay. LeBron looked healthy. LeBron looked like he had a lot of energy. LeBron looked like he had athleticism. He looked rejuvenated. He looked like he was back to being himself. Back to doing things like this at one end of the floor.
Samuels off to the races. Inside Kawhi. Shamit will finish. No. Picked up by Davis. Here comes James. Ball. Williams. And the sledgehammer.
I mean, the really impressive thing about LeBron. LeBron was doing things, and this is what impressed me the most. Aside from his actual energy level, athleticism, the fact that he was looking like LeBron of a few years back. The most impressive thing was he was doing LeBron things on both ends.
Picked up by Williams. Here comes Shamit around. James, LeBron knocked it away. Retrieved by Harkless. Into Harrell. The drive into James. That's an offensive foul.
And that's a double.
What an amazing block.
And don't feel bad, Shamit. I've been in the same situation.
The chase down block, a.k.a. the LeBron, followed by drawing a charge. That's old LeBron. That's not LeBron being old. That's old LeBron. And I don't know if this guy can do that for 82 games. I don't know if this guy can do that 2 games in a row. Well, actually, I do know he can't do it for 82 games. He can't. But he can still get it. And he's not dead the way many of you hoped he would be. That's the kind of stuff that only he can do. And the kind of stuff that Laker fans were daydreaming about him doing when he got that jersey. And then you had Anthony Davis. You had to wonder, what was AD going to look like in Laker gear?
Patterson is defending Davis with a good move inside.
This is why the Lakers have to play through AD. Use that skill set, going down low to LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
So Davis, in his Laker debut, goes 25-10-5. His first actual game as a Laker. LeBron had 18-9-8. Danny Green looked as good as he's ever looked. He showed up huge. And the team did have energy. The team did go on runs until they lost. You know, again, not great, but far from terrible. But unlike the Clippers, the Lakers are a work in progress. The Lakers have new faces. The Lakers have new coaches. The Lakers have new approaches. And the Lakers have issues when it comes to depth and defense, because that defense gave up way too much, especially in the second quarter. And then exactly how are they going to use Anthony Davis? Quick thought on that. AD, I know you don't want to play the five. I also know the team is better when you're at the five. I know you hate the five, but sometimes don't you have to do stuff you hate? In fact, any achiever in any walk of life will tell you one of the biggest reasons that they're successful is because they figured out a way to consistently get themselves to do stuff they hate. Especially if you're leading from the front and doing so makes the entire group around you better. Like, that's you, AD. I know you hate that spot. I know you want nothing to do with that spot. I know you'd much rather have somebody else do all that dirty work. Except the team needs you at that spot. The team will be much better with you at that spot. Embrace the suck, big man. Embrace the suck. Do what you hate. It'll make you better and everybody around you better. Now, that said, that's only one game. That's only one loss. No reason to panic. No reason for dopes in the media to immediately start crushing the purple and gold. No reason for folks to start snapping their car flags off their windows. There's a lot of work they still have to do. And as any Laker honk will tell you, they're not with Kyle Kuzma right now, and his return's going to change a lot of things. And I can tell you this, even without Kuzma, they had more juice, more energy, more excitement last night than in any Laker team I've seen in a while. And they're going to get better. But my biggest takeaway from last night is this. There is not a Clipper-Laker rivalry. There just isn't. I said it, and I hate to be the one to tell you this, but there just isn't. I know Laker fans were out in force last night. I know Laker fans take great pride in how they booed Kawhi Leonard when he took the mic before the game.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, won't you please make noise for Clippers forward, Kawhi Leonard!
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, Clipper fans, to the game tonight. It's going to be a great season. We're going to work hard every night. And let's get it going.
That's so awesome. Look, I even know that some of you all aren't even here to hype the Lakers. You're only here to hate the Clippers. And I know there's that marketing concept of the so-called battle for Los Angeles. You know what that is? That's not real. That's for shoe companies. That's for TV networks. That's for the corporate salespeople to try to move some ducats. Because there is no Clippers-Lakers rivalry. There is no Lakers-Clippers rivalry. It's dead. I'm not even sure that it ever even existed. And that's not because Laker fans refuse to acknowledge the Clippers as a threat. Or because Laker fans are always going to look at the Clippers as little bro. Or because the Lakers have so many banners and the Clippers don't. Not even because the Clippers got over on the Lakers in the summer and are now aiming for a championship instead of just beating the Lakers. I'm here to tell you it's not a rivalry because the players don't think it is. Ask LeBron. Somebody did after the game what his thoughts were on the Laker-Clipper alleged rivalry.
Everybody's trying to have the narrative of a rivalry game, and it is a huge test. I think both teams are not who they want to be. We have a lot of room to improve. We're a new group that's coming together. We have a new coaching staff. We have a new system. And it's not a rivalry. We're trying to get better every single day on how we can be as great as we can be. We did some good things tonight. We did some not so good things. And that happens in a game one, especially for a new club. So we look forward to getting in the film room tomorrow and seeing, you know, some of the mistakes that we made where we could have been better.
In other words, there's a much bigger picture here than the team that they share that house with. For instance, here's LeBron before the game on why Kawhi went to the Clippers.
What do you think swayed the decision for him?
How the hell can I answer that? I don't know. Ask Kawhi.
Anyway, It's not just LeBron. In Media Day, Montrezl Harrell said the Clippers, quote, don't buy into the L.A. versus L.A. thing. See what I'm saying? It's not a rivalry because the guys who are in the middle of it say that it's not a rivalry. Paul George said this season is not about a, quote, head-to-head battle of L.A. Like, do you think Paul George lies in bed at night thinking about when he's healthy and being able to beat the Lakers? Hell no. He's got much bigger plans. He wants an NBA title. You think Kawhi would be happy if they miss out on a ring but finish ahead of the Lakers? Is that going to be all right? No. You think LeBron is looking to get over on Kawhi? No. He's looking not to get over on Kawhi. He's looking to run down Mike. Guys move around so much that rivalries really are not the thing they've been in the past. Kawhi is on his third team in 3 years. Paul George is on his third team in 4 years. LeBron has played in Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, and now L.A. Do you really think that LeBron has been spending all this time fantasizing about what it's going to be like to beat the Clippers as a Laker? This is not Alabama-Auburn. This is not Michigan-Ohio State. This is not Duke-North Carolina. It really never has been. Last night was a really good game, but not a rivalry game because there is no rivalry. And that's not me trying to blame the players of today for ruining the game. I mean, I can even make the argument that the game today is better than it's ever been. And there are still rivalries. They're just not the usual ones. They're like Clippers-Rockets. Clippers-Rockets because that included some legendary stories about secret tunnels in Staples. Those rivalries are actual rivalries. They're the best ones. They aren't about one team hating the other team because of the jersey they wear, but because of the guys in the jerseys. You see me working. It's not about the guys hating the other jersey. It's about the guys hating the guy. Because those are personal. Those are the rivalries. Lakers-Clippers just aren't that. Until these guys start meeting up in secret tunnels to knock each other out, it's not a rivalry. Stop trying to make it one. They're worried about other things beside each other. Good game. Nice game. Clippers look great. Lakers look pretty good. Still not a rivalry. When we return.
Hey.
I don't know, man. How the bleep am I supposed to know? Go ask Kawhi.
Hey.
That's actually a fair response. Hey, Bron. Why do you think that Kawhi didn't want to play with you?
How the hell can I answer that? I don't know.
Go ask Kawhi why he didn't want to play with me.
Ask Kawhi.
I don't know. I want to talk about the Jets, if I have time, when we come back. The Jets are trying to run this crazy misdirection about how ESPN or the NFL or both did Sam Darnold dirty by airing that soundbite about him seeing ghosts. It's like the most Adam Gase thing ever. Nice try with that. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update. Game two of the World Series tonight. The Astros need it badly. Again, I'm not going to call that a must win, but that's the next closest thing to a must win. Wednesday is also an ATP Ask the Pros Day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Of course, better parts, better prices every day. Rome, I just found the show probably 2 years ago. I'm going to feel really stupid when you answer this, but why do you call Michael Jordan 45? I heard you say it many times, and most recently yesterday, but I can't figure it out. Please help my dumb brain. Jarrett in Jacksonville. Because, Jarrett, you know, when you used to think about Mike back in the day, and I'm one of those guys, I'm a little bit older. I think it's almost impossible to compare guys across generations. I'd be hard-pressed, and this is not in any way to disrespect LeBron or Kobe or anybody else, but coming up the way I came up, you'd be hard-pressed to say that somebody other than Mike was the GOAT when Mike ripped off six championships. Like, if Mike didn't go away, how many would he have? But he did go away. And then he came back and he won three more. And then he ultimately ended up with the Wizards, not the Bulls. And not rocking 23, but rocking 45. And I've always said, in terms of athletes and how they go out, I'm not one to say you've stayed too long, you're wrecking your legacy. It's your legacy. Do whatever the hell you want with your legacy. Except I hate to say this, and then some would argue that it doesn't even matter what he did there, that when you close your eyes and you think of Mike, you think about Mike with his tongue hanging out, taking off from the free throw line, and doing Mike things with Chicago. Yes and no. Like, when I think of Mike, I do think about Mike, his 23, and winning rings, and running with Scott, and the Worm, and Bill Cartwright, and the big hippie on the sideline. But I can't lie now. When I think of Mike, I think of Mike as 45. The number... with the Bulls. Wizards, so when I talk about the Wizards, I'm talking about how I think about Mike running with that team. But I also think about Mike coming back and rocking 45. That's what I'm talking about. So he came back and ultimately wore the number 45. I just thought that was kind of funny back in the day. And then it became kind of a habit. And then probably now I don't even know I do it. I just think of Mike, I think of 45. I think of two things when I think of Mike. I think of 45, and I think of the fact that I let him co-star in my movie with me.
I saw part of the movie, Mike, and I just want to thank you for co-starring in my movie with me.
That's what I heard. I co-starred with you. And thanks for doing that. That was nice of you.
So, those are the things I think of when I think about Mike. Lots of thoughts. But I do think about those two things. He came back and wore number 45. And I let him be in my movie, and he never really thanked me for it. Dear Rome, even though LeBron is old, I think about that too. Even though LeBron is old, he'll maintain his stamina because he surrounded himself with much younger talent. Signed, Dennis Quaid. Stephen PHX, where Jack Nicholson texting Frankie Muniz to see if he can get some Clipper tickets. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, Rome, AD hates playing the five? I can totally understand where that dude's coming from. If he hates playing a certain position, he should not be forced into it. Sign the fat old guy who sponsors the slow pitch softball team, who was his high school star player in 1986, but refuses to play any other position other than shortstop. Rome Slice, happy National Mole Day. I took the day off. I'm posted up in the living room, and I'm going to enjoy a full day of VHS tapes. Regards, Wason Chewart's face wore the mole face rock.
Going to a party in the Texas town. And the girls, they were just sitting around. Then one got up and asked a question. You should have seen Jim Rome's facial expression. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody in pale and rock. Dancing to the Mo-Face Rock. Dancing to the Mo-Face Rock. Listen, Mr. Jason, don't get smart with me. You look something that I ever did see. If I had a mole on my face like that, I'd stick my neck on the railroad track. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody in Paladin Rock. Dancing to the Jailhouse Rock. Listen, Jimmy Rome, I got to go, but let me tell you, son, you got a hell of a show. Listen, next time you're down to Texas, screw a cab, I'll drive you in my Lexus. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody in the jungle rock. Dancing to the Mo-Face Rock.
Bodie in Pearland became a legend that day when he sang about Jason Stewart, the talent coordinator for the show back in the day. And Stu was known for a lot of things, but mostly having a lot of moles. Hence, Bodie did the Mole Face Rock and called him the ugliest some bitch he ever did see. And if he had a face like that, he'd lie his neck on the railroad track. Dude, he's the ugliest some bitch I ever did see. Bodie in Pearland, that was 07, I think. Bodie, the Mole Face Rock. Dear Jim, I don't see ghosts. All right, Jim? I see ghosts. Signed, Sam D in New York.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
I don't see ghosts. All right, Jim? I see ghosts.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I don't fish on boats, all right? I fish on a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
You got that, Matt? I don't fish on boats. You got that? I fish on a boat, all right?
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
This guy's seething. Seething. Like, man, don't you keep me and boats out your mouth. I don't fish on boats, jerk. I fish on a boat, all right?
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Episode 101. We keep rolling with it. Episode 101 of the Jim Rome Podcast, the original Side Hustle, is going to drop later today. I have a conversation with former NBAer Steven Jackson. He and Matt Barnes have started their own video podcast, which dropped this week. Two really aggressive dudes. Steven Jackson will be my guest on Ep 101. Hey, Rome, when I tried to call, I only heard ghosts. Signed, Reggie, not in California. Reggie in Ontario. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Rome, I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, Reggie. What do you want to talk about? What's up?
I'm just calling in. I'm not in Ontario, California. I'm in Ontario, Canada.
Awesome.
Just calling in, listening to you on 90.5 Extra Sports FM.
All right, so thanks, Reggie. Next time you call, thanks for nothing, Reg. Hey, Reggie, I was not in any way confused about where you were calling from. Why did you correct me for something that I did not say? I did not say you were in Ontario, California. I did not say, let's go to Ontario, California, Reggie. What's up?
Reggie, if I had said that, Ontario.
Hey, Reggie, how are you? See, I said Reggie in Ontario. If I said Reggie in Ontario here in Cali, but I didn't. I said Reggie in Ontario. Something else I did not say or ask, what radio station are you listening to? I almost never ask that because I know the markets, I know the stations, and nobody cares, really. I mean, I appreciate the stations, but you're answering questions that you were not posed. You're answering questions that do not exist. You're making it harder than it needs to be. Have you noticed? I haven't even gotten to other topics because I have to keep going back to Reggie. Everything is getting in the way. Like, there's all this Reggie gridlock. I didn't get to the Jets. I didn't get to a few more topics I had because I'm too busy trying to clear out all this crap about Reggie. Oh, by the way, Rome, I'm in Ontario, Canada, not Cali. Right, I know. Even if I didn't know, it wouldn't matter. If I wanted to know, I would have asked, right? All right, the huge call is coming up momentarily. I'll tell you who's not going to win, Reggie. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now get 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. It didn't show up. All right, let's go to Sacramento. Nate, good to have you, Nate.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good, Ron.
What's up, Nate?
What's going on, Ron?
What's going on, Nate?
Man. You get it better, better.
I told you Reggie was not going to win. Nate did. If that's the best call we received today, you can only imagine how bad of a call day it was. You know what the problem is? I'm a sucker. A couple weeks back, we had a couple of days that were so amazing, and I keep chasing. I keep chasing to get back to those days, thinking it can be like that, when I should have just accepted what it was. A one-off. A miracle. An anomaly. An aberration. Something that would never happen ever again. But then again, I am the one saying you have to do the things you hate. Like AD's got to play the five. I have to take the calls to do the thing I hate. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Do better.